some people in here. Man, it got us looking bad, man. I might have to go back to restream. All right, what's good, everybody, man? If y'all in here, please hit the like button, share this out. Still getting this new software situated. I don't know why it's gotten us looking like this. It'll definitely be better the next time. But let me get the chat stuff or whatever. We can do it. You guys know we got Day Cyberwalks right here.
How's it going, guys?
Let me see. All right, man. Honestly, I didn't even title it. We didn't plan any talking points. He doesn't know, you know, what we're going to talk about. And I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're just going to talk. We ain't going to keep y'all here too long because it's Friday night and I like y'all out with y'all fam or whatever y'all doing at the crib. But yeah, just if you wasn't in here early, I'm going to play this promo and let it roll again. And then we're going to be back with y'all shortly. Oh, I still got some on camera. All right, man. So, first of all, you guys just started a promo. My ebook is dropping soon. Sending out the copyright in a day. Sign up now because you don't want to miss it when it comes out. Free game. Well, I can't say free because some of y'all going to pay for it. But cheap game. That's what I like to say. But we have, you know, the Jedi, he's really not even a Jedi apprentice no more for y'all Star Wars fans. I ain't that much into Star Wars, but I do know a little bit. But we got Day Cyberwalks right here, man. He's been killing it. And I thought it was only fitting for us to kind of end this year, kind of how we started this year. I was going to say last year, but it's not 2022 yet. For y'all that don't know, we did like our first live stream this January. And we also had that on a podcast. So also, guys, if you're listening right now on the podcast, make sure you share it out. And like I said, if you just came in, make sure you hit the like button. But first of all, you've been in Vegas, what, the last, what, 2-3 days?
I was in Vegas, and I went on Sunday, so today's Friday, so last like 5 days.
Got you, man. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, so so it was for the AWS reInvent conference. So it's like a yearly conference that AWS has for like the cloud security services, not just cloud security, but generally like the cloud space. So actually, I got in through a grant that AWS had. So it's called the All Builders Grant. So essentially, you had to like apply for the grant. So pretty much, just like a general application. Just think about like if you're applying for like a scholarship or something like that, or for like a program or something like that. So I had to apply for the program, and I got accepted into the program. So I got the grant, and pretty much what AWS did was they sponsored a trip to the event. So essentially, the tickets are like $1,800. So I didn't have to pay for the tickets. They paid for the hotel for my stay all through. They paid for the flight. They paid for transportation, like Uber from like the airport to the hotel and everything. And yeah, so pretty much sponsored the event, and like had like a special like group for we that were the applicants for this program as part of the event. And then the event is essentially just think about anything related to cloud and AWS also. So like all of like, you know, services like robotics, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud security, cloud infrastructure, AWS partners. And all that stuff. So everything that you can think about cloud and also in relation to AWS was in that event. And it was really amazing. I got to like attend like several sessions, like from like cloud infrastructure, cloud security. I mostly focused on like the cloud security events. So I got to attend like a bunch of cloud security events and everything. But it was a really amazing experience. And you can check my channel out. I have a vlog for the last 4 days. just covering like everything I did throughout the event. Oh shoot, I think I lost your sound.
I was on mute. I forgot. Okay. I try to mute when people talking because background noise with the laptop and all that crap. But I was saying I want to go to a conference again because the last one I went to was 2019 to SplunkConf. Mm-hmm. So I was telling I pitched it to my manager today. I was like, because they only had two sponsors. They did. They sent two people. He said they didn't even interact with each other. And then one of our guys, he actually was still working the whole week. Well, I guess he was. He was on meetings and stuff, you know. But I was like, yeah, I would love to go back to SplunkConf. It was pretty cool. What hotel did they have you in?
I was at the Westin, but there were other hotels. Like there was Flamingo as well and like a bunch of other hotels. But I was at the Westin.
Where was the conference at?
It was in Vegas. So
no, I know it was Vegas, but I meant like the venue.
It was spread across like three hotels. So it was one was at the Venetian, one was at Caesars Forum, and one was at Wynn.
Got you. There we go. I'm trying to figure out all this crap out, y'all. Don't be laughing at me. Cool, man. Let me freaking mute all this crap. I don't know if you guys see my Pixel 6. I got a Pixel 6. On top of, I got an iPhone. Sorry about that, guys. But early in January, if I'm not mistaken, were you still interning?
Yes, I was still an intern until March this year.
Got you. Tell us a little bit about, we'll go from your journey. We'll go from like, and you don't have to get super in depth, but kind of like what you thought cybersecurity was in the beginning to kind of not even what you thought cybersecurity was, because that's too big of a statement. Yeah. We'll say what you think your first couple of cybersecurity jobs would be like in your mind compared to what you actually do now. Like, I think that's going to be an eye opener because you're fresh and, you know, a lot of people kind of want to know what that is. Like, and they kind of don't want to hear from people who have been, they want to hear from us, but somebody's new and give them kind of a little bit more, a better viewpoint on, you know, what they're getting at.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, like between February and March, I wasn't like looking into like getting like any full-time jobs. I was like still looking at like internships. So I was like applying for internships, interviewing for internships. And what happened was like, we had a conversation, like you and I, and you're like, oh, you could like, you know, apply for like full-time positions. Like, you know, you have the experience, like just, you know, you could apply and just see what happens. And I was like, yeah, for sure. So I, alongside applying for internships, and I started applying for full-time positions, and I happened to interview for my first like SOC analyst position. And when I interviewed for that, it was a pretty good interview experience. And like, to my surprise, I was able to kind of like answer like most of the questions and just really flow very well throughout the interview. And so I eventually got that job. And to be honest, I didn't really know what exactly I was going to expect going into like a full-time job or going into like being like a full-time SOC analyst coming from like a cybersecurity analyst internship. So, starting that position, like it was really like everything was really new to me. Like, I mean, I messed around with Sims or like other tools in my home lab, but actually working with those things like in real life or like in an enterprise environment, like actually, you know, monitoring for different kind of alerts or like looking at different kind of attacks, like in real life, was a lot different from like what I was experienced with or what I had knowledge of from my my labs or whatever. So that was like, you know, a whole different like perspective for me, just coming from an internship where I was doing, you know, I was doing something completely different. So like in my internship, I was mostly like focused on like phishing analysis and like email security and like Azure security. So like going into like working with SIEMs and like working with EDRs and like all of that stuff, like was a whole different thing. And even when I was about to leave, like my manager at my internship was like, look, like once you get into this position, everything is just going to be like so foreign to you. But like, you know, over time, like you're going to catch up, you know, just like if you just keep up at this pace. And for me, since I knew that I had such a steep learning curve, I made it a point of duty to kind of like work towards really understanding all those things like really in depth. So once I got into like the SOC analyst position, I just made it a point of duty to like just really get good at it and understand everything I was doing as fast as I could, so that I could get up to speed, so I wouldn't, you know, lack in, you know, what I was doing. So it was definitely a whole different, you know, a whole nother perspective for me. And then once I already got into the groove of it, I was ready. Like, I was like, okay, I'm into this now. So I realized that I was no longer going to be able to go back into doing internships, because now I'm like a full-time worker, and like I'm pretty much now responsible for all of my actions. Not like when I was in the internship where I could, you know, I was still like in training, or like I wasn't like a full employee. So I knew that I always had to like continue learning and continue building my skills. And then from there, you know, after that job, I was able to, you know, get my current position. And, you know, we can talk about that later on in the video. But yeah, that's kind of how things, you know, kind of transitioned for me from internship to full time.
Yo, man, that's dope, man. Let me give my boy some gunshots, man, because I'm going to tell y'all some stuff that, like I said, when you came here earlier, we did not rehearse any of this stuff. So he doesn't know what I'm going to say. Listen, man. This is my guy right here. You're in my ebook. I probably highlight every time I highlight like an individual who did something the right way and put in the work. I always talk about this guy. Like last year, it probably was times where I'm trying to see what's the yeah. So I would say it was like 2020. It'll be times like it was late at night and I'm saying, oh, what you doing? He was like, oh, I'm doing XYZ, or he's up late night studying or doing something. So everything he got now, he put in a lot of work for it. I told him, because he's younger than me. Hold on, by the way, how old are you again?
I'm 19.
Listen, man, I was not this wise at 19. You know, I'm 10 years his senior. So when I see something like that, I have to rock with it. And I told him before, a long time ago, I've actually told Tavion this like verbatim. I was like, this dude reminds me of you. Because he was the same way, like younger than me, but really putting that work in. But if I'm not mistaken, did you start when I was on PTO?
I was like my first day. Like I remember we talked on my first day, like at least for my first week. We talked. I shadowed you a bit in my first week.
I think I did. When did you start?
July 28th, I think. Yeah, July 28th.
Okay, yeah. So remember, I did go on PTO. I went on PTO like 2 weeks in August. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, honestly, I think I told you while I was on PTO, but I like, guys, I've got none but compliments like for bringing him on the team at the time when I was at the old company, nothing but compliments. Like when a coworker's like, we need about 3 more days. Because I found out, and I understand why companies do ageism a little bit. I think it's really contingent on the person, and you might could tell through the interview or how the person is. But I found out like the younger people, we're hungry. And some of the people who are setting their ways aren't as hungry, or they don't have the aptitude to learn as much as they used to. So that's what I see with you. And I mean, you could tell me what do you get from like being around like some of the older people, like, are they actually trying, or I won't say trying, but you know, like I got the feeling, you know, I can say it now cause I'm not on the team and you don't have to say no, you can plead the fifth. Sometimes I felt like people was just there. I didn't feel like they was giving it their all. And I felt like I was doing a lot of stuff, like even small tasks that I did, like I kind of was starting to get like pissed off with, because I felt like I shouldn't have had to do that. I felt like a lot of these people were getting paid a lot of good money to work there and they wasn't, you know, doing what they were supposed to. And primarily it was because, you know, shout out, you know, if Ashley tuned in, shout out to Ashley. Ashley's like the best manager I ever had. You know, I think a lot of those guys just took her kindness, you know, I want to say for weakness. I think it was just because like she was so nice and understanding. The the nurturing part of women, what makes women, you know, good managers is that part. But it's not necessarily a bad thing, but what makes them kind of bad is like men know that men not going to play too many games. Like, it's one of the reasons why I kind of didn't want to get her position. I didn't want to be over that team. I didn't want to deal with some of the personalities, because I also think it's hard. Like, everybody, like, even when I was the lead, they didn't report to me. So think about all of us being on the same team. Now, all of a sudden, they have to listen to me. A lot of times, that doesn't even work well. It's like, I'm not finna listen to you. You just was doing the same thing I was doing. So a lot of times, that don't even work well. And it's like doing like this. So that's the one of the things that I didn't do or care for. But do you have that same sentiment or what?
Yeah, so I feel like I've everywhere I find myself, I've always been like the youngest on the team, and like everyone else has always been older and always had more experience usually. And for me, like, I have like such a really strong passion for cybersecurity and like for like my job wherever I find myself, and I really like immerse myself into it, which really helps me succeed. But at the same time, like I was like at my internship, like I really loved working on my team, right? Because these people were truly passionate about what they were doing, and like it's you know, like we're like we worked together as a team, and we also like we would share stuff with each other, like, oh, I don't understand this, you know, we explain to each other. Or especially being an intern, like I was able to like learn a lot from them, just because everyone really liked what they were doing and they were always willing to help. It definitely is a great experience, right? I feel like everyone is competent, everyone knows what they're doing, but like I don't have like that same the same vibes, right? I feel like especially in security, I feel like one of the most driving things is passion, right? Like you have to, like, you like something so much to the point where, you know, you're doing it as a job. For me, it's a job, and I also do it outside of work because I find it really fun. And it's like when you're in a place where sometimes it feels like people are just, you know, there to like just, you know, get a paycheck. It definitely like is, I would say, for me, it doesn't kill my morale, because like I enjoy my job enough to like find, you know, pleasure in it. But definitely it would, you know, definitely having that, I guess, con is, you know, definitely something that I think about and I notice. But it doesn't really bother me, because I know that, you know, like the better I become, like the further I go in my career, the more it's gonna enable me meet more people who have those characteristics of like being really passionate about this stuff, you know, beyond work and also in work as well. So that's you know, that's my own take on that.
I know I was muted, but yeah, man, that's how I take it. It's always fun being the young guy. Because I think a lot of times people take it for granted, but every time a young person who actually cares come in, they typically do good, because, you know, let's face it, we don't have the complexion for the protection. So you have to come in and work hard, 2-3 times harder sometimes. But let's talk about, okay, like, so I mean, you haven't been on social media for a while. I don't know when your hiatus started, but it's a lot of funny stuff that's transpired. But so in your honest opinion, because this should be a good time step, in your honest opinion, for someone to come in and be a level one SOC analyst, and we may differentiate between an MSS and a MSSP, but for someone to come in and be a level one SOC analyst, what would be the route you would advise them to do? And I guess you can say a little bit of your route, but I put like what you advise them, but from your viewpoint of doing this almost a year now, pretty much at two companies, and also finna be on a second contract within X amount of months. What do you think they need? Like, because, you know, I say kind of what they should do, but now you're a person that's really not even a year removed from being the person asking, hey, I'm trying to get in cybersecurity, what should I do? So you're a testament of the things that I talk about. So tell the viewers, what do you think they should do? And granted, it's different levels, like it's different ways you can get in different cybersecurity roles. But for some reason, a lot of people want to do the SOC, not knowing that, honestly, a SOC comes with a wealth of knowledge that it kind of expects you to have about different things. Mm-hmm. But we're going to ask Day, what does he think that, you know, people need to be successful in a SOC?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give a brief summary of my own route, and then I'll kind of tell you what I would do differently. Because I feel like if I was to go over again, I would do it completely differently. And when I tell people now, I give them a different like perspective. So when I knew I wanted to get into cybersecurity, I was like, okay, I can either get in through like IT or like through an internship, right? I was like, okay, these are two routes I want to start with. So I was like, okay, I will look for help desk jobs or like cybersecurity internships or IT internships. And I started applying so what I did first was I was like, okay, I want to get at least a baseline certification just to kind of show like, you know, okay, I'm working on something, I'm learning new things. Cause truly I barely knew much about like, I understood tech, I understood like information technology, but I didn't know well enough for, I guess, entry level positions and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get the A+, right? And when I get an A+, I'll start applying for IT positions, entry level positions. So I got the A+, I studied for the A+, got the A+, I started applying for entry level, like IT positions and like, cybersecurity internships. And then just kind of, then I started like, you know, trying to learn a little bit more about security. But I also knew that I had to have a knowledge of networking. So I started studying for Network Plus. So fortunately, between the time after I got my A+ and when I started studying for my Network Plus, I was able to get my internship, right? So, and this came through. So I'd say number one thing, like for internship is like, you have to be in school, you have to be in college, right? So that was the first thing, right? So I was in college, I was a freshman at the time. And so I applied for an internship and I got the interview, right? So that's great. So I had the certification, I had the college experience, I got the interview. I started working on like cybersecurity projects too. So I put out on my resume, I think. Or I talked about it in an interview, not in my resume. So I was able to get an interview, right? So now when I had the interview, I was like, okay, I have to kill this interview. I have to give these people a reason for them to hire me. So, you know, when we had the interview, I made sure to like, you know, pretty much like put all my cards on the table. This is me. This is what I know. This is a passion of mine. And I really appreciate this opportunity to learn more about cybersecurity. And I was able to do that. And I eventually got the internship. So now, I can say that even though like, you know, A+ is not a security certification, but it's still a certification regardless, right? And then I got the internship. Once I got the internship, I passed my Network Plus, and then I took the Security Plus. So that was kind of how I got into, you know, the field. That's how I broke into the field. And then from there on, I transitioned into becoming a SOC analyst. And between that time, I started building skills and learning about SIEMs and like different things like that. That's kind of how I you know, I got into the field, like just get into the field, like with my internship. But if I was to do it all over again, right, this is what I usually advise people, right? So you have to kind of know where you are at right now. Like, what is your knowledge base? What do you know at this moment? Like, what do you understand? Like, do you understand networking? Do you understand like basic IT stuff? I think having like a solid fundamental, having a solid baseline, a solid foundation is like really important. And I think a lot of people overlook that and just kind of go from like zero and want to go to like 90 in the span of like a really short time. You have to spend time learning the fundamentals because you're always going to come across the fundamentals. Like everything we do in cybersecurity still boils down back to the fundamentals. And if you have a solid fundamental, you can then build off of that towards everything else. So I would usually recommend that people.
I hate to interject, but. Yeah. This is something us senior level people have been telling people on Twitter about doing the fundamentals. And you're one year in and just said the same thing that you have not even been on. Matter of fact, guys, I wasn't even able to tag him on Twitter because he's not on Twitter right now. He just said the same thing that we've been telling y'all of not skipping steps and just knowing the fundamentals. So it's important, but I'm going to let you carry on.
Yeah, so absolutely. So the fundamentals are important. So you have to first self-evaluate. So when I evaluated myself, I was like, okay, I need to do the A+, right? The A+ is, people usually term it as always entry level, it's too low level. You don't really need the knowledge of the A+, but like no other certification really even teaches you certain things that the A+ teaches you. And having that knowledge is going to help you. So I don't necessarily recommend doing the A+, but just taking a course on it, literally just taking Professor Meso's course, right? You can literally finish that course in a week or two. You have the fundamental knowledge. That's all you need. You don't have to have the certification to prove that you have the knowledge. All you need is that fundamental knowledge, right? Take the A+. Now, the second certification that a lot of people always usually skip over, which I recommend, is the Network Plus. Everything that is in cybersecurity boils down to networking. Like, cybersecurity cannot be anything without networking. Like, everything we do in cybersecurity is surrounded by networking. We need networks to connect our different devices. We need networks to, like, communicate with the different devices. Networking is like the is which all the network information is what you get on your SIM, from your firewalls, from your hosts, from all your devices. Everything is based on networking. So if you don't have a fundamental understanding of networking, like, you're going to really struggle in cybersecurity, because, like, you're going to be having to deal with, like, different networking protocols or different networking concepts that you have to understand. So I usually recommend people studying for the Network Plus, right? You don't have to, like, you also don't necessarily have to take the certification, right? All you just need to do is to understand the concepts provided in the Network Plus, right? So study for the Network Plus, understand the concepts. You can take the certification if you want, but just understanding the concepts in the Network Plus is going to be enough for you to get that baseline of fundamental understanding of networking. Now, if you want to go, you know, further, you want to, you know, go further beyond just, like, Network Plus knowledge, CCNA is also another one you can go for. But that's if you want to, if you have the time, the resources, and the energy to go beyond the Network Plus level of knowledge. So I think one of the reasons why I eventually decided not to do the CCNA was because I already did a CCNA class. I already studied for the CCNA exam, and I already had the fundamental, like, Network Plus knowledge, and I already had a job. So I was like, it would be kind of counterintuitive for me to take the exam now. Like, even I might pass, I might not pass, but, like, it wouldn't be a good use of my time and, like, my resources to take the CCNA at this point in my career. I can only, like, try to, like, move forward based on where I'm at. But if you are at that point in your career, if you want to take the CCNA, then, you know, absolutely, like, it's your own prerogative. And also, CCNA also puts you in a better position for some kind of entry level jobs, right? So we've got it now, A+, Network Plus, that fundamental knowledge of basics of IT and networking. You have that down, right? Now you're not starting to connect the pieces together with the security knowledge. So people usually recommend the Security Plus, right? And of course, like, it's the staple certification for, like, entry level, like, cybersecurity positions. Entry level, most cybersecurity positions you would see have the Security Plus as a requirement, and also for, like, DoD requirements. But I personally would recommend, before or after taking the Security Plus, to do either the EJPT, which is the Inland Security Junior Pen Tester, or the Blue Team Level 1. Now, the reason behind the EJPT is because, like, the Security Plus is great. It covers a really large amount of things, but I think the EJPT is, like, it gives you the perspective of the kind of attacks you're going to be seeing when you eventually get into that security position. Like, the different kinds of, like, things you're going to be analyzing from the SIM, you have the understanding of how they work from the attacker's perspective, at least at a baseline level. So understanding that knowledge from the EJPT perspective is going to help you when you eventually see those things from the logs or from the SIMs when you're analyzing them. So I recommend the EJPT, or you could do the Blue Team Level 1, which I'm currently studying for. That certification is a certification. It's like the people call it, like, the OACP of the Blue Team side. So what a certification does is it's pretty much Security Plus, CYSA Plus, and a whole lot more in one certification, right? So this certification covers everything from, like, basic security fundamentals to threat intelligence, digital forensics, SIM, incident response, and all of the things you need, you pretty much need to become a SOC analyst, are covered in this certification. This particular Blue Team Level 1, like, if you take the certification, I can personally say that if somebody has a certification, they've taken the exam, you have the skills and the knowledge you need to become a SOC analyst, because this certification is a practical certification. So it's not multiple choice like CompTIA or any of the other certifications. You have to go through a 12-hour incident response scenario and create a report within 24 hours, right? Like the OACP. So you have to create a report, go through a live incident response scenario, and you know, go through that whole situation. So if you can do that, you can definitely work in a security environment or a SOC. So I recommend that. And then you can go ahead to do like a security plus or a CYSA plus. Although the blue team level one might not give you the HR clout, having the knowledge plus the security plus certification to have that HR requirement combined together will, you know, help you bolster your efforts, like in your when you're applying for jobs or applying for internships. So, and all of this, the A plus, Nerve plus, Security plus, Blue Team Level 1, EJPT, all of that, if you properly plan your time, you can do that within a month. Within six months. So if you plan a 6-month time period for all of these different trainings, you can definitely get that done. And another thing I also recommend is while you're doing this, you can't just do this without letting people know that you're doing this, because your end goal is to get a job. So you have to let people know your intention. So share it on your social media, share it on your LinkedIn, on your Twitter, if you have one, because Twitter is a great place for this cybersecurity community. So share it on your Twitter, share it on your LinkedIn, have a blog or a YouTube channel where you're sharing your knowledge to show people what you're learning, what you know. Like go through labs, right? As you're learning these things, go to Let's Defend, learn how to work cases like you would in a SOC environment. Or, you know, like go to TryHackMe. TryHackMe has rooms on like Splunk, on like different tools like that. So you have, and you can do like write-ups or like videos of what you've done, of what you've learned, or you can do projects, you can do like home labs, just to show that you are really interested in this, and like share it to your network. And when people see that, people see your passion generally, you start making connections with people that can eventually, you know, kind of help you get into where you want to, which was like kind of how I kind of connected with Honore, because like he saw what I was doing. And like, he was like, oh, this guy really has a passion for what he's doing. And he connected with me with different opportunities and eventually my current opportunity. So like having all of those things and letting people see that is also going to be really important. You need visibility alongside everything else you're doing. So that's what I would advise. Like within your first 6 months, if you follow that plan, you know, to the T, like just like block out all the distractions and just follow it, I can guarantee that you, with the right, you know, resume, with the right connections, you can definitely get your first entry level internship or SOC analyst or entry level position in cybersecurity.
Yeah, man. Let me give you a round of applause for that, because that was you said something right there. But yeah, man, everything he said, and I also like to add, I remember you was talking about that blue team level one. Since it's not really heavily notarized right now, I'll throw that in there with, and I haven't had a chance to review that, but maybe that. And if you didn't want to go to EJPT route, I'll also probably say the ECIR. Would be a good cert to get to, because it's practical as well. And honestly, a lot of us who do interview entry level people or mid level or even seniors, we're not caring too much about what your certs. Like, for example, I don't know all the domains that the blue team level one covers or like the topics, but if you feel good about the topics you learned, and this is why I've stressed it to some clients, like the importance of labbing is to retain the information. So if you retain the information, and shout out to Dewan Lightfoot, lab every day, you'll remember it. And so, yeah, you may not have that security plus or that CYSA plus or whatever cert, but let's say you did, you know, 10 hours of incident response, whatever. So you know it pretty well enough to be at least on an entry level of talking about it in an interview. You could put that on there as like a skill. That's what I tell people to do. I say, a lot of times some people don't have the experience. So I say, okay, cool. Sometimes I suggested, you know, a cyber course, because it covers enough topics to where I could say, okay, this is related coursework. These are the different courses that they did, and they should have a good enough understanding of what it takes to secure an environment. But I also agree with you about knowing the other side. It's like, I'm going to use a boxing analogy. Like, yeah, I can show you defense all day, but you got to know how to throw a jab so you can also know how to counter it. You can slip it, you can block it. It can pretty much, you know, you go up under it. There's different things you can do. So I agree with you about knowing both sides in order to be well-vested, which is why this book has been taking a lot of my time. I'm finally done with it. I plan to probably try TryHackMe and some other things to stay sharp and, you know, that different viewpoint. Cause I'm, you know, we'll talk some more about everything else, but knowing that and putting it together. And like you said, that 6 month plan, I think you did. You probably went under 6 months, right?
Oh yeah. I got in within like 3 months, like within like after with the A plus. I was like on my first internship.
Like, everything they said is what I tell people when we consult. And it's also stuff in my book. Like, one of the reasons why I tell people to blog or start a YouTube channel, or if you don't even want to do a YouTube channel, you could just do screen recordings. I just downloaded Camtasia, but you don't need Camtasia. I used to use Screencast-O-Matic. You can use OBS. You can use anything you want to use. But if you talked over it and explaining what you're doing while you're working through it, you know, that looks good to somebody you're constantly, yeah, you don't have the experience, but so here's a gem. If you go on my channel right now, I have that incident response walkthrough lab from INE. And I think they had the same one on either Try Hack Me or whatever, and, with the boss of the socks. So that's like an hour long video, and I'm talking through what I'm looking for and what's the next phase and all that. And I've sent that when I was doing the job search, I was sending that to recruiters. So they know, okay, boom. He said, you know, I use Splunk. So he's using Splunk in this. He knows how to investigate. He knows he's using open source intelligence. I'm actually showing it because I'm doing it on video and I'm confident when I'm talking about it. If you can do stuff like that, you can mitigate, you know, your experience, because that's also a thing. Everybody's so reliant on, oh, I've been applying, but I ain't hear nothing back. I was like, well, did you reach out to them? You know, you have to get your foot in the door before people actually just start reaching out to you. Once you make a name for yourself and you get the experience on LinkedIn and you've been on there a while, you're not going to get too many hit-ups. Like, you know, I get emails sometimes at like 9:30 at night about roles, like for real, no lie. And you know, like it's been days where it's like nothing, but I'm talking about, and you know, good money. Like, I'm not going to get into a rant, but that's how I know who's really in this and who's not. Like, when you got the experience, they find you, you really don't have to apply anymore. Unless it's something that just catch your eye and you want to apply to. But even then, you can reach out to somebody and you can network. So that's dope, man. So I remember, we're going to do this. What's a challenge for somebody? Like, even though I just said, for example, and I think it's only because it's easier for me because I actually was using Splunk day to day using their lab. For somebody coming out the street, right? And I normally suggest to people, well, I think they changed it now, but I used to say at least do your fundamentals one because it's free and they'll give you a PDF. So you'll have kind of commands to understand how to do anything. But how was it for you coming to Splunk from what you're working with at the other job?
Okay. So for me, I was working with a different sim my other job. So coming into Splunk, I would say it was foreign to me. So at least like I'd at least work with the sim, right? So I've been working with a different sim for like about 3 or 4 months. And then I've been doing like some, you know, some labs like on Range Force on how to use a sim, especially for like different investigation scenarios. And I'd also done the Splunk Fundamentals 1. I literally had built a whole Splunk lab, I connected like a whole Active Directory environment into Splunk for login and analysis. So I kind of had a basic understanding of Splunk, right? I understood it from, like, I guess, from the engineering perspective and also from like the analytical perspective. So coming in and then being in an enterprise environment was a little different in the sense that now I had to learn I had to know the indexes, I had to know the source types. Knowing those two different those indexes and source types because of the large amount of like data sources that are being fed into the sim, I had to know, because like, okay, if I'm looking for like cloud logs, like what is going to be the index? What's going to be the source type? If I'm looking for EDR logs, what's going to be the index or source type? If I'm looking for firewall logs, what's going to be the index or source type? And even firewall logs, am I looking for maybe like network logs or like threat logs? Like I had to know like the different indexes and source types. But over time, I was able to kind of like, you know, figure that out and have that in my notes so that I can easily refer back to them. But I would say it was completely foreign because I already had the work experience from a different sim. And also I'd already had like lab and experience using the tools. So all I needed to do was to learn it for the specific environment I was working in at the time when I joined the organization.
Nice. But I've worked on, let me see, I've used Elastic a little bit. I've used Splunk heavily, QM Radar, and I've used McAfee's Nitro. Yeah, yeah. And I've used ArcSight a little bit. It's archaic. But anyways, what I tend to preach to people, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, when it comes to working in a SOC, and maybe I should title this, you know, what it's like being a SOC analyst. Maybe that's what I'll clip it as. When it comes to working in a SOC, what do you think the most important things for a new person to do or get familiar with? Or like, for example, sometimes you can wait on people to train you, or what you can do is try to beef up your skills on your own so you're getting better faster so they can take the leash off you.
Yeah.
What would you advise, like if it's a new person, it's their first, I know what I would tell them to do, but if it's their first SOC job,
yeah,
what would you advise them to do to kind of acquiesce with the team and get better?
Yeah. So, I mean, like working with you was not, it wasn't like my first SOC job, but I still needed some shadowing, right? Because it was a new environment. But I didn't shadow for too long. I only shadowed for like a week or two before like I was just working on my own. And like that was partly because probably because you were not around, and also like I wasn't getting that much help from other like team members. I just had to like, you know, figure it out by myself. But I'd say first things first is like you have to first of all like go in with the mindset that you're going to be absorbing a lot of information within your first like month or first 3 months, right? You're going to be absorbing a lot of information about different things, especially since it's your first SOC job, right? Because it's your first SOC job, so you're going to be absorbing a lot of information. So you have to go in with that mindset. Now, secondly, try to at least get like at least a week or something of shadowing, right? Even if like if people are not like taking the time, because it can be in organizations where like, oh yeah, we'll teach you, we'll show you, but like nobody's creating a time. Like, try as much as possible to like pursue people to, you know, make them like to shadow them for at least a week. And during this, your first week of shadowing people, right, make sure you're taking notes, like a lot of notes, like literally, like if you can't type, like literally write down what you're learning, right? If someone says something you don't understand, ask them, or like note it down that you're going to go research about this later on, right? So absorb all of that information, right? Ask questions, like learn as much as possible, right? So after you do this, then while you're shadowing, still ask the person, okay, can I walk through this so you can watch me as I do it, so that if I make any mistakes, you can help me out with that. So once you do that, they'll point out, oh, you're doing this wrong, or you're supposed to do this differently, right? So try to allow them what you do, you know, work through an analysis or whatever scenario it is, right? And through all of this, make sure you're taking notes as much as possible. And then that should be like your first. Typically, like you should have like, I would say you should have like, normally in like an organization, you should have like two to four weeks of like shadowing and training when you first get in, depending on your level. But if you're entry level and they know, they should give you like 2 to 4 weeks of like shadowing. But if you're not getting like that, if you're not getting like that amount of shadowing, just make sure you're assimilating as much information as possible. Now, once you get like that in like your first 1 week, 2 weeks, or 4 weeks, right? So when you start doing your analysis, I feel like in most like security, most SOARs or like most like tools people use for like security alerting and stuff, there's ways where you can check how other people have gone through other alerts, like how they analyze like their closing notes. So go back and look at how other people, if you're looking at an alert, for example, let's say there's like a authentication from an IP address that has never been seen before, right? Go and look at how somebody else analyzed that alert in their notes, and like, okay, this person did this, I checked this, and this is what I came to. And like, okay, try to go through those steps in your own in your own analysis, and then based off of that, start using like those person's steps to like, you know, backtrack and then figure it out. And not just one person, you can use like multiple people to, you know, do that. Like, look at this person did this way, take notes, and then use that to figure it out. Now, if there's something specifically you don't understand, try to reach out to certain people that like, hey, I'm going through this analysis, can you help me out? Like can I share my screen while you walk me through how to go through this? And then based off of that, just like keep going, and very soon, like, you just realize that even if there's something that is new, you just know how to do it because like you already have that like muscle memory that's going to help you to understand what you're doing at that point in time.
Yeah, man. So a few things. You said a lot. The first thing is, I'm going to just laugh at it, but like, let's say, for instance, talking about somebody's notes, like, you can ask them, but I was big on people like, please put notes in here because sometimes nobody would do notes. And if I got to do something you assigned to me, then I got to figure out, hey, what did you do on this alert? I don't know what you did. I don't even know how you came to this conclusion. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, it helps people like a new person come in and say, oh, this is how you do this. Yes. But the thing is, sometimes you have to. Now, I say the hardest part is figuring out the person that you're looking at notes did it right.
That's true.
So that's one. That's why I said when you said multiple people, that's pretty good because you'll get pretty much a good kind of understanding of what's right and wrong. I like to add that the reason why you didn't shadow his lunch because they already knew you had it. So they was like, man, he's good to go. When it comes, guys, honestly, for me, the biggest thing what I tell people is about being a SOC. And eventually, guys, I am probably even with Dave's help and others' help to where I can actually set up something to help people. Like, I want to make a legit, like, SOC course. Whereas I make it to where you finish in a week or 2 months, you could go work at a SOC the next day. So it's going to be concise and stuff that you actually need. Anything else, some of the stuff you won't need to depend on the socks because some of these things, it's good to know, but sometimes you ain't going to never get to use the stuff. Yeah. So I want to get it to where you could go to work and be efficient. And then anything else to add is just extra. But
right,
the biggest thing is knowing how to think and knowing how to attack alerts. And guys, look, Google is your friend. There's a lot of times John made some new correlation search where I looked at the correlation search, read what it's about, and then kind of researched what was going on. Yeah. That's pivotal. Don't think you can't look some up because it's no way possible for you to know all this stuff. New attack vectors, you know, are coming out all the time. And, you know, you just have to figure out how to deal with them. Like, you know, I can go on and on, but for example, here's a gem. A lot of people get happy with throwing some virus total. And, you know, if it don't come back with anything, oh, it must be good.
Yeah.
That's not the case. It either be a good hash or it just don't have information on it. If possible, try to run it through a couple of open source engines to see if it's malicious or not. But sometimes even they might not know. Mm-hmm. What I tend to do is look at a hash or something if it was on an endpoint, and I just look at the endpoint activity. Before I left, I found an alert with fileless malware. Me and Bernie handled it. I looked at it in CrowdStrike. I looked at the process tree, and I was like, man, this looks interesting. This computer shouldn't do this. Because I seen something in Splunk. I seen something with the calculator function or something. I was like, why would they be reporting logging on the calculator thing? And so it made me do a deep dive.
Right.
So be curious. Now, granted, depending on your level, you may not be granted that much time to actually do that and go deep dive. But when you actually do, that's how you actually get to understand better. And like he said, find somebody. Try to find the smartest person if possible, but do your due diligence so you're not bothering them. Like, when I first started, I probably would go to John about everything, but I had already did XYZ. Like, first thing John's going to say is, hey, did you check the playbook out? You know? And I was like, yeah, I checked the playbook out. I did this and this. This is where I got, this is where I got stuck here. He was like, okay, assign it to me. And then sometimes I say, hey, can you show me how you did that? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Spit up a dune and we look at it. You know, I told the thing about how when I first started there, when it was like 3 years ago, I didn't even know what S3 bucket was, but we had those alerts coming in. A lot of us didn't know. Like, that's how not long cloud's been around. I don't know why these jobs are trying to make it seem like cloud been out here like 15 years. Like, cloud is still fairly new. So if you're watching this now, you still have, you know, time to get into cloud. But you said some some good things. Now I'm going to talk about some of the things that are small, but can be some of the things that actually make you stand out without having to be super technical. So everybody thinks, yeah, cybersecurity, or especially being a SOC analyst, you need to be technical and know things. But I also would like to say that, honestly, soft skills, speaking up in meetings, documentation is big. Not only notes, documenting your tickets correctly. Like, for example, you know, you have people that forget the host name or the source IP, when those are two of the biggest things that you need on the ticket. Right. Tell them what you did, what was your analysis, why you came to this conclusion, what do we need to do in the ticket. So when you pass it to the next team, they don't have to go back over that.
Exactly.
Shoot, helping out with documentation, you know, with your playbooks, one of the right playbooks, understanding how to write correlation searches, use cases. I mean, you name it. It's probably some other soft skills I'm not thinking of, but those are important things that will help you look better in front of leadership. Like, I promise you, if you're working night shift and you don't want to work night shift, like, just start emailing all the time. Come in and find some stuff that you can fix, propose them. Oh, also, I should have said this. When you start a new job, what you need to do is get a OneNote or whatever you want to do, title it, and then everything that you worked on or that you fixed, you need to put it down. So now when it comes to your adding your resume, you say, okay, I did this, 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 and this. Or when it comes to your review, if you're wanting to get a raise, you can say, hey, I did all this stuff. It helped us out. You know, you're showing your value. So please do that. I'm doing that now. Like, I've already put down, okay, I know what my major project is. I can't tell you because I get in trouble. But I have a major project I'm going to be doing. And I'm writing down everything I'm doing with it. Or what am I fixing? What am I solving? Please do that. Those are things that I put in my resume about what I help with. You know, you'd be surprised. Something simple is like one of the things that I really was spearheaded was that we need a QA process for our analysts, you know, because we're running into the same issues. Let me see if it's a trend here. Are they doing stuff right? Let me get, you know, the feedback. So that's it. And also, don't be scared to escalate when you need to, if you don't understand something.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
The smallest alert could possibly tip the scale and have everybody up at 2 a.m. And, you know, in his situation, he got brought in because some people messed up. And I think also a reason why I wasn't able to shadow with him a lot or anybody else, because we still were busy at the time. Mm-hmm. We were down all those bodies.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know how it is now. I recently talked to Pat and he was telling me a little bit about that. But, now, I'll say, far as, you know, since you've really been at more of an MSS for a while. Okay, somebody said I was breaking up. I don't know. I think it may be his end.
Yeah, it's good on my side.
Okay, cool. You know, did your camera just go out?
No, I'm still on.
It's showing black on my end. But anyways, we'll talk about, so you kind of really gave everybody a plan on how to get a SOC role, or you say breaking into cybersecurity, but I think it's honestly a niche path to do SOC, because here's the thing. I say, and you can tell me if you agree with this, would you say it takes a little bit of luck and hard work to break into cybersecurity?
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, for somebody to hire you, like, you might be the most skilled person ever, right? You might have, like, the best skills and everything, but they have to like you, right? They have to, like, they're going to be working with you, so they have to like you and, you know, want to work with you. And at the same time, like, you might be the least skilled person and still get the job. So like, if they like you more because of your personality and know that, okay, we can train you up, you probably get hired. But if somebody else has like the top skills and like they just don't like them, then they probably wouldn't hire them. That's where the luck comes in.
Yeah, because it's like, because I've seen other people there, they're trying. a lot of stuff and it's just not clicking for them. And so I always tell people too, sometimes everybody's path not going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I tell people to brand yourself and be as visible as possible. Absolutely. Because a lot of times, so what it does is, and listen, I'm giving you stuff straight from my book. When you have a presence on LinkedIn or you got nothing but videos where people can go back, they kind of see your personality. And if you're blogging, they see how you write. This guy's got a ton of blog material that I keep on telling him to make it official so nobody can take it. Wink, wink. I can't wink, but but those are things that help you out because your manager is looking for a leader. Hey, I want to put you on this project. Can you do this? You know, I never asked, which I might ask one day about, like, how did I beat the people out for my new role? But I'm pretty sure maybe it was some of the stuff I talked about. And this was I talked about it briefly, but I went through a 4-hour interview process. And I'm going to just tell you guys, I wasn't as good as Dave when I started out. Granted, I had experience. I did like help desk for 2 years and then not for like 8 months, but I still really, far as technical wise, wasn't as good as him. And that's the reason why, I really wasn't, when I was coming up, it wasn't so many, it wasn't that many SOC roles or security roles available. They started coming available a lot about 2017, 2018.
Oh, something
off. But I also wasn't doing the best to highlight stuff I knew. I just was doing a scattershot approach, which I advise people not to do now. Like, even in 2018, that was a rough time. Like, I didn't get enough feedback from everybody to wonder, like, what was going on. I had my own opinions of why I went so long without getting hired. But, you know, it was, you know, for a reason. It only right. made me better. Maybe I wouldn't have been as hungry and good in June of 2018 had I got hired like 2 weeks after I got laid off from McAfee. That's definitely, I think I talked about that briefly in like the last little podcast episode I did. I guess I got an email or something. I don't know. But yeah, man, I'm trying to see what else we want to touch on because I don't want to keep people here all day. They're in here watching. I know I've seen some questions. Let's see. Salute to Josh, man. Keep it techie, man. Y'all go subscribe to him. I think he just passed 9,000 subscribers. So y'all shout out to him. Y'all follow him. Let's see. Emmanuel B says, how do you get the motivation and drive to learn when you're comfortable at your level and you feel like you know a lot? That's interesting because I don't know if I'm the best to answer that because I haven't gotten at that level yet. The only reason I haven't been studying super hard is because life has happened and other things, but I plan to. This is a field I know I can't get comfortable in because stuff is changing. Like, we got stuff about crypto, blockchain, web 3.0, DeFi, all this crap is coming up and it's finna shake up the world. So I got new stuff to learn about. So I can't just get comfortable, you know, like, you know, what is this? Today's threats is not yesterday's threats or something. You know, Fat Joe say today's price is not yesterday's price. So I might put that on the shirt. Today's threats are not yesterday's threats. Y'all better not steal that. So I don't know. Do you have an answer for that about if you feel like you know a lot? Because I don't know. I think the wisest people know they know nothing at all.
Yeah. I would say, like, for me, like, I've never felt comfortable. Like, that's kind of one of the reasons why I've had so much like progress in my career so far and why I've had like the amount of positions I've had like in the short time I've been in the field. Cause I've never felt comfortable. Like I never get to a point and I feel like, I'm good here. Like I can, you know, I can, you know, become, I'm good, right? I feel like I'm always like, okay, this is great, right? I already understand this stuff, right? Okay, what's next? Like, what do I need to know next? Like, where are the gaps in my knowledge, right? So, for example, right, when I got into my current position, like, I was like, okay, so first two, three months, you know, I was like, okay, I'm learning these things. I need to understand these things. And then, four and a half months, like, okay, I get it. Like, I have my workflow. I know what's going on. Even if we get like new alerts, I can figure it out, right? Because I understand the process. I understand the workflow. And that was when I had the opportunity to interview for a senior position, right? So like, Pat was like, "Hey, look, we have this new client coming up. Like, you should interview for it." I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." Even though like I technically don't have the experience requirement for a senior position, like even in my career, like I am still like kind of, you know, entry level. Like if you would, you know, if you were to classify me by
no, I like to object. You actually have a senior level skill set. So I don't base what you got the experience or whatever on based on years of like you've been in. I based on what I feel like you can do. Or no, right. Feels a bad word. Me and should say I know. I base, you know, your skill set or your experience level based on what I know you can do. So I, right. You know, you definitely do. All the stuff you're doing, there's nobody that I know. I mean, it's probably some other people, but nobody on that team has did that training. You had people on there. I'll tell you afterwards, but what they were trying to do, but no, you have senior level skill set already being a year in, you know, just like, you know, Tay left us and he went and did a senior level role. You know, I started consulting. Like, I feel like that's probably the next thing you have to start doing is consulting. Dude, going to be posting pictures everywhere and videos.
Word. But yeah, so, I interviewed for the position and it was definitely a really it was a really hard interview, I would say. Like it was very long and hard. But even still, like I came out successful, even though I didn't get the senior position, right? But I got promoted to the next stage of my my analyst level, right? So but even still, like if not for certain things I wasn't able to kind of answer in the interview, I very much well would have gotten the position, but to circle back to the bottom line, it's like I just never feel comfortable where I'm at, right? And right now, like I'm at the point where, okay, I know where I'm going next and I know what I need to get there, so I can't be comfortable knowing that. So now I'm trying to. So I haven't really put this out there yet. So this is my first time putting it out there. I'm actually working on transitioning to cloud security. So I know that I can be comfortable where I'm at right now because I have a lot to learn about the cloud. And if I want to be really good at the cloud, I have to learn a lot. So there's just never the fact of being comfortable has just never been there. And then motivation, like there's so many things that motivate me. I'd say like number one thing, like one of the major motivations in this field, and I'm not gonna lie or like, you know, be afraid to say it is the money. Like you can make a lot of money in this field, right? Because the better you are, the better you're skilled, the better the opportunity for you to make money, right? In this field, like the higher you go, the more skilled you have, more skills you have, the more knowledge you have, the more potential you have to make money. So like if you can like
yo, let's see, we got somebody coming up real quick. I'm letting them on the stage.
All right.
Yeah, we can hear you. How's it going, man? Pretty good. That's cool. I said I was going to eventually try to do this in the future to kind of interact with people more, and it might be an easier way to do like maybe some quick questions people have while they're watching. And more people might try to hit the link because I think I'm probably going to dead this at like 8:30 so I can, you know, I'm gonna leave my girl with the kids. But yeah, man. Got any questions for us while you're up here? Or anything you just want to talk about?
No, it's not.
Nice. Thanks, man. I like to interject, though. I like to tell everybody who's doing help desk, desktop support, service desk, that there are some cybersecurity related things that you are doing in your role. You just have to highlight and identify them. Will you be supporting a certain system or anything like that? Got you. I've been there before. I got you. I feel like, and this is just me talking, I feel like two industries that are about to probably get invested a little bit more in cybersecurity is real estate and like anything with law, like lawyers type of things. I say it with the real estate because, you know, now we're moving to metaverse and virtual land. I'm pretty sure big firms are going to be trying to buy that. And I just foresee a whole bunch of things transpiring that tells me to keep on telling people, hey, get in the tech, you know, however way you got to do it, get in there and you'll eventually find your role. But number two, I was going to say that if you were working on a specific platform, like you said, it was a SaaS company, I was like, it's a, you know, don't be scared to like niche down into a specific software, because that can be an avenue into something else. I've talked about that too. Like it could be a software that a lot of people don't use, which makes it easier for you because you'll be highly coveted with supply and demand. It's like, oh, we're looking for somebody who knows how to use so-and-so. Mary talks about it all the time. Shout out to Mary. If you do want to go into, I'm talking to people, the viewers, Dice Bootcamp, you know, my tech best friend, Mary has a down pack for that. But yeah, I would say that. Also, just look into different softwares you can possibly, you know, maybe your company might pay for some training and then you could probably niche down to something and then probably that'd be your way up. It's always a way. It's just, you know, you got to attack it from a different angle. What is that?
Like MDM too?
Nice. So that could potentially, if you got a cert or something in that, you might can just, because honestly, I tell people too, sysadmins really do cybersecurity work too, even though their title says sysadmin. I mean, you can learn about that some more on your free time or figure out how a way if y'all have to reach out to vendors or some crap. You know, it's I would say networking is probably the best thing you could do right now in your position. It's to network because you're already technical doing engineering stuff. And you may want to be a type of security engineer where you actually work on the platforms. So it's many ways to skin a cat. So that's just my advice for you. You know, just keep your head up. It took me, 2.5 years, really from 2013 to 2017. So it took me a while to finally get where I wanted to get, but I finally got there. So I just say keep at it and you'll get there. Yeah, man, anytime, you know, that's what something I forgot to ask today. I mean, I think I started my channel just because I like talking about this stuff and I've always been trying to help people. Of course, I do my coaching stuff I get paid for, but it's not anything outrageous. It's more so just time. I take time out of my day to help you. So it's really more so about that. But the, you know, the investment you get from it is priceless. But the fact, I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, the reach of YouTube is crazy. Like, I've looked at my analytics. I looked at my podcast analytics, like, all different type of people, you know, view your content or message you, like, on LinkedIn or something and say, hey, man, just wanted to, you know, shout you out or thank you for your videos. They helped me get a job or something like that. So that's some of the best news you can get on a day, just because, like, well, at least I'm making an impact. I don't care if it's 1,000 people or one person. I helped out.
Yeah, we're both in Dallas, Texas, right?
Yeah, me and DFW. Yeah, man. It's becoming a hotbed out here. For jobs, man. So I say, and I'm gonna do a video on this, but I think an issue that some people don't even know is they don't know how to, and when I say search for jobs, they don't know how to decipher, because they wouldn't know because they're not in the field. They don't know how to decipher what's an actual entry-level type of job opposed to a mid-level, senior-level role.
Right.
It's kind of, I gave examples in the ebook of like, oh, this is entry-level, this isn't, for that reason, so people can kind of know. Like, I kind of base it off of like the responsibility. Some stuff you won't know unless you actually work somewhere. It's hard to get, you know, free training on everything. Like, even like, I got a video I plan to do. I got the stuff written out, but I just got to do some other crap with it about EDRs. It's so hard to get your hands on an EDR solution to lab with. But what you can do, and I did it, I just have to do set up some VMs. I was able to get a free trial of like Microsoft Defender. So I'm going to set it up in a VM and just start doing crap in there. Or maybe let it stay open and let Day hack it or some crap and see what Defender does. I'm trying to record it and talk about it in a video. A lot of companies are going to Microsoft Defender. So I don't know if you probably can get some certs for it too. So I would say, look up Microsoft Defender and
yeah, you can play with it in Azure and right. Also with Azure Sentinel too.
Yeah. And what's his name? Josh something with an M.
Yeah. Metacore.
Yeah. I just came across his profile like a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully me and him can collab. But I seen that he set up Sentinel for a video, and that was cool because I feel like Sentinel is going to be something that's going to eventually get some good market share, just like Azure is clawing away at AWS. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, those are some things that can make you stand out on a resume, because if you say something about EDR, most people that are coming in, new people, don't know what EDR is. I mean, I did if you don't follow me on Instagram, you can check out my Instagram, and I actually did like a post on like, what is an EDR? What is it made for? What are the top five EDRs? What are my favorites? So that's good. Emerging EDR right now would be Sentinel One as well. Now, Sentinel One's training and stuff is super expensive. So, and then you might not be able to even do it unless you work for a company, but you can always research it and figure out what it was. It uses machine learning, AI, just like CrowdStrike, but it's a little different.
Someone said Elastic EDR is free. That's true. I actually just set it up recently. You can, Elastic. If you set up an Elastic environment, you can add the plugin.
So here's my thing with it though. I don't see it a lot on job descriptions. Or know a lot of companies that use it.
Yeah. But I think like,
now I could be wrong. I haven't actually searched for it. I may search for Elastic EDR one day and see. I could be wrong. But so I'll try to go back and search for that.
If it's for labbing though, like the truth is like most EDRs have like pretty much the same capabilities. It's just like some of them have like maybe like faster engines or are like cloud native or something like that. But typically the EDR's function is pretty much the same. Some might have like deeper capabilities, but if you understand how to use the EDR, like from a lab perspective, just knowing how to like, you know, look at processes or process information, look at like hashes or look at like services or network connections or like disk changes, all of that. Just knowing how to do that maybe in the lab, and then just applying that knowledge to whatever EDR you find yourself using, it's going to be good, because all you have to do is just, and truth be told, even if you've never used the EDR before, you can literally be trained on that. Like when I got my first SOC job, I had never used the EDR, and I was able to get trained on how to use the EDR there. And from there on, I just kind of picked up how to use EDRs generally. And sometimes the EDRs also have like their training. So like they have like CrowdStrike has CrowdStrike University, where you can get trainings on how to use CrowdStrike. Tenium has training too. So
But you know what? It's hard to get access to CrowdStrike University outside of being with a company. Because I was looking at that, but you would be able to take the certs. They might have some stuff on Udemy or somewhere you find it, but like CCFA, CCFR are not hard. Matter of fact, I had to check my OneNote because I think I have some stuff on the CCFR as far as like some questions. It's pretty, if you know a little bit about like incident response or something like that, like it's pretty simple. Like it really is for the CCFR. CCFA, simple too, but it's more so geared towards handling stuff in CrowdStrike. Yeah. Let me get back to some of these questions real quick, and then we're going to end up letting everybody go. Let's see.
Okay. I've been answering some questions in the chat.
Somebody said, yeah, I saw Black Ant said, y'all got it good in Dallas. Houston is competitive. Nah, Dallas is like right under Austin when it comes to like tech jobs out here. Houston actually is the least competitive when it comes to this, because I never saw that many security jobs in Houston when I was looking years ago.
And a lot of the companies are also based here. There's a lot of like tech companies that are based here in Dallas too.
Right. Lola Lee said, what's an entry-level SOC salary? Like they said, it really depends. I'll say average maybe around between 65 and 75, because some of my clients like in the area, I think their first offer was like 60 something, and I think that was around average, I think, for them. And they got some stock options and some other stuff on the back end, so it wasn't too bad. Yeah. Oh, shout out to my cousin Tony. Hey man, hadn't heard from you in a while. I want to tell you on camera, I love you, man. That's the ball in the bayou in the chat for those that want to know. Let's see. I actually interviewed at AWS for a cloud associate earlier this year, and I got body on the last round. Yeah, I haven't did anything FANG related. One day I may apply to a FANG job to see how the experience is, and I could probably chronicle it. It's pretty cool. I know I'm in fintech now. I remember my EY interview. It wasn't super hard. I did that like last year, last February, before everything shut down. It wasn't hard, but I did mess up. Let me tell you why Dave's right about networking, because I was able to help my friend with his interview with EY. I was a 4-hour interview, four different people. First interview, the guy was like, hey, can you draw me a network? I hadn't had to draw a network in years. I messed up on how the DMZ looked and everything. I knew I bummed that part, that portion of it. Everything else I did good on. But the network part of just drawing, an actual network topology, I did bad at. So just remember that. Yeah, that's right. OMG Mamba, XDR. I know my last company, which, I'm going to say Optiv, and they're really doing a lot with XDR now as well. So you're right about that. That's huge. So looking to XDR roles, I've been telling everybody, if you're a new company, try to research SOAR. I don't know if they have any open source stuff. All this stuff I plan to do videos on, guys, to help you guys out.
Like SOAR engineering.
Let's see. Side hustles and security. Yeah, he said content creation. I'm not going to say the name on camera, Emmanuel, because I try to not let people know where I'm at until I'm either gone or whatever, because these companies in that sector are very particular what you do outside of work. So I don't want to tell you where I'm at. But if you want to be honest, I had one interview, and I actually detailed this. I had what I learned from, it's either in my I quit my job video or what I learned from interviewing. One of those videos, I've already kind of detailed this, but pretty much it was simple. I had one interview with somebody that went good. I could tell it went good. Just had a good flow going on, personalities. And then the next one was like a 4-hour interview. And it was funny because I was doing this while I was working. And it was pretty cool. Nobody asked me anything outlandish. It was funny because, like I said, my experience wasn't directly on the other side with incident response. And I just gave my answers and highlighted like my strong points and stuff I did and stuff I, you know, have did at the last company. And stuff went by fast where, you know, my recruiter was like, yeah, man, they like you. You know, they're finna try to do this and that. And so they're going to end up offering you. And they did. And they had a super long background check. So that's why it took me so long to start. Cause yeah. They knew from a long back in, I want to say that was like July or something when I talked to them. So they knew back then that I was talking to them. And so I didn't start till November 4th or something like that.
Yeah. I remember I kept like asking like almost like every week.
Let's see. Also, for people that's in the Dallas area or anybody want to fly, Day doesn't know because he hasn't been on Twitter. We are, and I got to text that group, we are planning on doing like a DFW tech meetup. We're shooting for right now, March of 2022. Springtime, when it's a little better. So if you want to, we'll have more info, but just connect with me and get on Twitter. We'll be probably talking about it on Twitter. That'll definitely be something we want to make it like a nice networking event. And maybe we can make it a thing that occurs yearly. So where now DFW got its own little hub, kind of like where I think Baltimore and all of them have their own thing out there. So that's pretty much what we're trying to do. I don't want to hold nobody long. I don't know if anybody else wants to talk or say anything before I let the people enjoy their, what you call it. Got anything to add, man?
No,
I got you tagged in the video, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, just if anyone has any, like, more questions or anything, just, like, you know, reach out. My Discord, actually, so I take that back. So, like, get on my Discord because I try to, like, answer questions on the Discord and help people out. I tend to, like, shy away from, like, personal messages recently because, like, it's just like counterintuitive for me because like, I just help more people with the Discord. So definitely check out if you look at my YouTube, in my description, you see like the link to my Discord. So definitely join my Discord and ask questions in the Discord, not private message, just because I probably wouldn't reply. But that's it for me.
So check this out, guys. What I'm going to do real quick, if you're in the stream and you want to join, if you want to join my Slack space, I'm going to post the link right now.
Oh, yeah, I should drop my Discord too.
So I have a Slack. I just posted a link. I'm probably going to loop this and let you guys, you know, click on it. But I also probably put this in the description. I'm trying to get that community built up. But I appreciate everybody for tuning in. It's been another one, man. Thank everybody. I got some more heat on the way. Y'all go follow Day Cyberwalks. He's the man. He's going to be at like 30,000 subs next year.
Thanks.
So y'all know what it is, man. But, you know, until next time, let's get textual.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro.